This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Beautiful day. The weather is kind of coming around a little bit. It's only 95 degrees out there today. I want to let you know that the first half of this show is sponsored by Melissa Warren, and she's the owner of At Home Care. And what she did, she started a business that would go into people's homes and allow them to stay there and do things for them that they normally would be able to do for themselves, but they've gotten older and maybe they've had physical problems. So she goes in with her group and they take care of a lot of things such as errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, medication reminders, and many, many other things. And we're talking about 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And her office is located at 237 Castlewood Drive at Suite H, and that's behind the Kroger's at Memorial Boulevard. And you can also reach them at 713-4639 or on the internet at www.athomecaretennessee.com. And we have two really, really special guests today. Actually, one of them had her spouse here earlier, Judge Royce Taylor. And I'm talking about Susan, of course. Everybody knows Susan Taylor if they've been in this community any length of time at all. And before we get any further with that, since I did bring up Royce's name, I do want to mention the tragedy, and I know it's really sitting down hard on Royce right now with the SEALs. They took a lick the other day in Afghanistan, and one of the helicopters went down that was carrying about 30, and I think about 22 of the officers were SEALs. They were part of the unit of the ones that actually got Osama bin Laden, but they were not part of that team, is my understanding.
Right.
And I'm awful sorry about that. And also, we have Mr. Jeff Holmes here, and he has recently been promoted to general in the National Guard. And I want to say congratulations, General.
Thank you. Thank
and that's
you
the last time I'll call you General while we're here. One of the last Cassis products.
Right.
And it's my understanding that you told me that you used to frequent Brown Store.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember going in, in the morning. I remember rolling in there one Saturday morning. That was probably 6:30. And everybody was gathered around that big table they had out there. And I thought, well, they're having some kind of a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out they did that every day. But it was an interesting little venue they had there. And I think they probably solved a lot of the world's problems. They just didn't write it down. They kept resolving it every week.
Did you ever run into one of my favorite characters? And I'm not talking about Moe this time. Jerry McCullough.
Yeah, I ran into him about 26 years ago when I started dating his daughter.
Ah.
And but Jerry's a great father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot of hunting and fishing and deer hunting with him and stuff, and taught me how to work on vehicles and tractors and everything else. Yeah, great.
I hope she's like her mama.
You're not gonna drag me into that one. But I did luck out. My goal was to always marry up, and I've done that for sure.
Well, you guys have taken part in a really great organization, and I'm not as familiar with it as I should be. But you guys are here to make sure that all of us know a little bit more about leadership, and that is, what does that cover, Susan?
Well, our program is Leadership Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee, okay.
And we cover 10 counties.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with leaders, proven leaders, mm-hmm. from all 10 of our counties in the Middle Tennessee area. And this program was developed. Want me to go ahead and tell us a little something about it?
Yes.
It was developed in 1999.
Okay.
It came out of a the program Partnership 2000 mm-hmm. in Nashville, which mm-hmm. was an offshoot of the Nashville Chamber. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Jerry Benefiel was with Nissan, and he was the president of Partnership 2000. Mm-hmm. And they could see the need for a regional addressing issues from a regional perspective, not just from local counties. Mm-hmm. And so that's how one of their big initiatives was that we have a regional leadership program. And so that's how they talked to Marvin Runyon. Mm-hmm. Marvin agreed to be the first chairman. And then Marvin and some of the ones from Partnership 2000 came down and talked to President Walker at MTSU. Mm-hmm. And Dean Burton, Jim Burton, and the provost at that time, mm-hmm. and I think it was Barbara Haskew at that time, and they wanted to partner, they wanted this program to be run through a university setting. Hmm. Hence, we run the program through the College of Business.
Now, why was that selected? Do you have any idea?
Well, they wanted the program to run through a university setting, but they didn't want it to be a Nashville setting mm-hmm. because they felt like the other nine counties who were going to be involved would be a little hesitant. They would think it was just a Davidson County program, mm-hmm.
right.
which it's not. And it's proven that, I mean, we've got good support and good participation from all 10 of our counties now. But it's a win-win situation for the university. Mm-hmm. I'm technically a university employee. Mm-hmm. I run the program through the College of Business, but we're also 501c3. Mm-hmm. So all of our money comes from outside sources. But we started the program, got it off the ground really in 2000 with Marvin Runyon as our chairman of the board. And that's when we brought Jeff on board. He was one of our first board members and our youngest board member at that time. And so Marvin asked the first board to be the first class. And so we run a class of approximately 30 to 35 people every year starting in September. It's a competitive process mm-hmm. to get in the program. And we try to have a good mix of participants where we don't have all of one profession, and so we've got over 300 alumni now, which we're proud of, getting ready to start up a new class of 32 in September.
I was looking at the list of people that have graduated there, and Jeff, you're an architect,
right?
And you've been in the business quite a while. Were you an architect at the time that you first came
yes.
aboard here?
Yes, I was.
I do want to jump in and say, not only was Jeff an architect, he had just been elected the youngest president of Hart, Freeland, and Roberts when we selected him to be on the board.
So. That's quite an honor.
Well, I was honored to get the call. I can remember the day that Marvin called me. I about fell out of my chair, you know, talking to somebody that is such an icon that Marvin was and his experiences. And, you know, he was really great in his leadership role in forming this. I mean, people just kind of, you know, drew to him, you know, like moths around a light bulb, because he had so much knowledge, you know, and he wasn't flamboyant about it. You know, he was very personable, mm-hmm. But his experience in dealing with, you know, all the different levels of government and organizations, you know, those things are kind of carried over no matter what organization you're in. Mm-hmm. You know, he was very grounded, just a very wise man.
Did he say what his particular goals were for the leadership of Middle Tennessee?
I think it was, you know, there's a number of goals, and we still carry on those from what he had established, but he wanted to really bring leaders together that and make them aware of the interconnectivity of the region. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, if you go back in history, you look at our definition of region today, if you were to go back in the early 1800s, you know, counties were formed based on kind of a common bond,
right.
and more or less the ability to influence things, you know, within their region. I'll say mm-hmm. region, county. You know, they had to get to the county seat or the form of government or the law. You know, everything had to be within a ride's distance on mm-hmm. a horse or walking or something. And that was pretty much their world. Well, you know, we've expanded well beyond that now. If you look at the ability to travel, you know, overseas in a matter of a day, look at our communities, we're living, you know, living in one county, working in another, The interconnectivity, interdependency of this region is just really huge. And he wanted to make sure that those leaders, both public officials and private sector leaders and community activists and all that, were more educated in how all of us within Middle Tennessee are linked together. You know, one county does something, it affects those around it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really kind of in the same boat. And he really wanted to promote that level of awareness, and then kind of create those disciples that can go out and they'll know more about, you know, how these counties are interconnected, and know more about the benefits and resources of adjacent counties. And it was really a good concept and a really good vision.
Now, when he first thought of it, was this something, I think, Susan, you had told me that this was something that was started nationwide, actually, and did he find out about it, or did he just start looking for something?
Well, there's another very successful program in West Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fellow named Robert Smith, who was a vice president down at UT Martin,
mm-hmm.
and he's sort of the grandfather of all leadership programs in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Local leadership programs, he's helped get a lot of them started, and the regional leadership concept, probably the first program in Tennessee, was West Star,
mm-hmm.
which is based out of UT Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Smith, I went down and met with him, and he pretty much helped us lay the groundwork for this program. I was started the program once they hired me and to start it up.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went down and talked to him, and so we followed some of the same principles they followed. But regionalism has become sort of a word that's used a lot now,
mm-hmm.
Around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City, they have a regional leadership program tied in there. San Diego has one. I stay in contact with a lot of the regional programs around the country,
mm-hmm.
as well as the ones in Tennessee. And we've just recently helped. There are seven counties in southern Middle Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
that were not tied into a regional leadership program in Tennessee. Some of them wanted to come in on our program, but we feel like we have all we can handle with 10 counties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to do what we do in our 10 counties, we really could not get into pulling any more counties. But I've helped them partner with Martin Methodist,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Ted Brown at Martin Methodist, the president there, has agreed to run the southern. They're calling it Gaddis, and it's named for somebody, but their program is going to be run through UT, through Martin Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been, and that's going to be Moore County, Bedford, Coffey, Lincoln, Franklin, Marshall, and Giles County is in on that one too. So that's a good thing, because it helps, you can do a lot more if you work together regionally as
mm-hmm.
a region instead of as your 10 counties.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're looking at. And we've seen this program, as some of my alumni say, they can go through any of our 10 counties and pick up the phone and call somebody that can help them, whether it's their government and a government public issue, or whether it's on a personal note.
I mean, almost sound like a chamber.
We have got an incredible amount of alumni now with special talents and
mm-hmm.
Resources. And so, it really, Royce is always amazed that I get calls morning, noon, and night from people wanting to know how to get in touch with somebody that may have covered a certain issue.
I am not surprised at the success of what you're doing, because what's happening here is, once you open up all the communication lines to all the things that people need and the things that can improve your community, then you've got the best of all worlds. And it sounds like that you guys are on the right track, and you have had the right people there in place to make sure that it's going to be successful.
It's incredible, really. And Jeff can tell you too. I mean, Jeff was feeding me information from Iraq the whole time he was there, where we kept in touch with what he was doing while he was gone to Iraq. And we had another, and of course we were very close to Fort Campbell, and we had the opportunity of General Campbell meeting with our group. We have people now that actually call me and want to speak to our group. Senator Corker was one. Right after he was elected, I get a call from his office saying he wants to come have dinner with our class.
Mm-hmm.
So both Governor Bredesen and Governor Haslam have been very supportive of our program. When others can't get an audience with them, they'll come sit down and talk to our group. And that means a lot, don't you think so, Jeff?
No, absolutely. You know, you know, we've got a very diverse, and Susan mentioned the selection process, you know, and there's been a lot of effort put into making sure that we're very diverse in industry types. You know, it's not a bunch of politicians or lawyers or bankers or, you know, government officials. It's a good cross-section. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their seat at the table. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of effort in making sure that each class is well-rounded so that everybody's perspective is brought to the table. And then as far as our alumni, you know, it's a fairly young organization mm-hmm. in the term of, you know, the length
years.
Of time, right? So mm-hmm. 300 plus alumni, and they're all, you know, they're all leaders mm-hmm. and influential leaders, and they're all willing, you know, you kind of test somebody out to see how dedicated they are to the mm-hmm. program. And it's not an easy program. It's mm-hmm. it's a lot of time commitment. Well, you'll quickly find out, you know, those that are dedicated are going to make it through, or they're going to commit to the program, and you know they're going to have continued involvement in issues. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, our alumni class, they're just they're great community leaders, you know, all segments. It's amazing every year you kind of continue, and a lot of them are young. They're coming of age, you know, they're becoming leaders. Mm-hmm. They want to participate, you know, in the betterment of their region and their mm-hmm. county and stuff. So this gives them a venue, kind of a stepping stone to continue to be involved.
Well, I can understand why our political leaders, our senators and our governors would want to get involved, because your group is going to be very influential. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And what type of screening program do you go through to become a member? I presume that you don't reach out to them. They will actually yeah. come to you.
We have a selection process, and we do different ways. We advertise that, you know, we're taking applications. Mm-hmm. They can go online to our website and apply, or we'll send them an application. Some people, you know, I meet with all my counties, and mm-hmm. We have Jack Turner, who's now our chairman of the board, and Jack's very active and has been very supportive of our program. And he and I go around usually in January and February and have breakfast with all the alumni in each of our 10 counties. Mm-hmm. And from that breakfast, sometimes they'll do some brainstorming of people in their county that they feel like would be good prospects for the program. Mm-hmm. And somebody may encourage them to apply. Then, you know, just by people hearing about our program, or we always go to a lot of the local leadership programs, because mm-hmm. we find they're going to know some people that would be good to apply. So we get some of our applicants that way. Then people that just hear about the program through the newspaper or whatever means, mm-hmm. they'll contact me, and they want to apply. We accept all the applications, and then we have a selection committee, and they sit down and they lay it out on a grid. I think you've been on
right.
the selection
yeah.
committee, Jeff.
A couple of times.
And I don't do the selecting. Jack doesn't do the selecting. The committee does it, and with approval from the executive committee. But they lay it out in a grid where we have mm-hmm. We have professional diversity, cultural diversity, gender diversity, and people that we think are going to come back and help with the program, because it's an ongoing program. We have a very active alumni organization. We have several alumni summits each year that go back and revisit some of the issues, and I'll get into issues after a while, mm-hmm. too. But they go in, and we try to take at least two applicants from each county. And, of course, Nashville, we usually have at least five from Nashville. We will have three or four from Rutherford County and Williamson County, some of our larger counties, Montgomery County. We actually have the special assistant to the general at Fort Campbell that's going through the program this year. Fort Campbell's very supportive of our program. They really roll out the red carpet for us when we go up there. And we do spend almost a whole day now at Fort Campbell. When we go to Montgomery County, we'll spend the first day at Fort Campbell, the second day we spend in Montgomery County. And so we're very careful who we select. I mean, that doesn't mean that occasionally we have somebody that just doesn't come back and do anything with the program. Most people, once they're in the program, they've made lifelong friends. They've made lifelong contacts as far as across county lines. They know where they can go to get the kind of information. I will tell you one quick little story about some of the meaning of the contacts and the networking with the program. We had somebody, and I won't name the business of the person, but I had someone from one county that had been trying to make contact with someone in with a group in another county for an issue, something with their business, and it was a big business. And by the contacts they made in Leadership Middle Tennessee, it saved, they were able to make that contact mm-hmm. that they hadn't been able to make, and it saved one company $1 million that
wow.
year. So it was, so we've had some good stories like that of things that have been accomplished. Maybe one county could see how another county was, because we go to each county mm-hmm. during the course of the year. We spend a day and a half at each county.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had another instance where, some of our county's officials may see how another county is doing something
mm-hmm.
that might save them money or be a better process. So we feel like the connections are just tremendous, that they...
Do you think the leaders of the government part, we're talking about the mayors,
mm-hmm.
When they enter into the program, do you think that, from what you're saying, going into the other communities, you learn a lot that way, but I believe they learn more from all of the diversity that you have in the group, because when you're part of something like that, you can't help but improve the things that you normally are going to be dealing with, say
right.
on a daily basis. And I don't like to get into politics too much these days, but with all the issues that are going on, and I was thinking this, I don't know why it came into my head, but if government would work, and I'm talking about the federal government, state too, if the federal government could work the way that you do with your group, and you bring all the leaders in, and everybody works together toward a common goal, wouldn't it be wonderful if we would have that kind of situation? Because you guys have no axes to grind. You're out there to looking to improve whichever community you're in, or actually the whole Middle Tennessee area.
Well, and we're not political, and we don't have an agenda. I mean, we don't promote any particular cause or anything. In fact, we stay away from that. And I'll tell you a little story about Marvin Runyon. And of course, Marvin's not around, but I don't think he'd mind me telling this story anyway. When Marvin was, when he had retired from Nissan, he mm-hmm. had not planned on going to work anywhere. And I guess it was... What president would have been
Bush.
First Bush.
I think you're right.
Sent Howard Baker to Tennessee to talk to Marvin, and talked to Marvin about taking over TVA. And so Marvin said he and Marvin, you could not really tell what political persuasion Marvin was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
He was a businessman.
He was a businessman.
Very logical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was walking with Howard Baker, and Howard was talking to him about becoming head of taking over TVA, getting it straightened out and everything. And Marvin looked at Howard and he said, "Howard, you don't even know what political party I'm in." And Howard looked at him and said, "It doesn't matter."
That sounded
like both of them. They were both great people. And but I think that was the way Marvin was. He would get the job done. It didn't matter what party he was. And he did the same thing with the post office.
Yeah, so. I remember him telling me, and I've often told him he should write a book based on his experience. We could all benefit by that. But one more Marvin Runyon story real quick. He was telling me about when he took over as Postmaster General, and he knew nothing about the Postal Service, absolutely
mm-hmm.
nothing. But he knew how to run large organizations and put a vision out there and then direct everybody to it. And they were in a huge financial crisis. The government
mm-hmm.
had to subsidize them,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't self-sustain. And he got all his senior leadership together in one room, and he made just a bold statement. He goes, he kind of showed some big figures and something. He goes, "This means we've got to cut overhead, and so we're
mm-hmm.
fixing to cut overhead." And somebody raised their hand in the back of the room or something and said, "Well, Mr. Runyon, what do you mean by overhead?" He goes, "Well, I don't know a lot about the mail, but I
mm-hmm.
know if your hand does not touch that envelope, then you're overhead. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to cut. And he was talking about cutting a lot of people around his table.
He did, too. He did.
Yeah, he was an amazing man. And Susan probably remembers when they opened Nissan up over here, and they had a groundbreaking. And he was one of the guest speakers that day. And of course, it was a huge crowd out there, and a lot of union people that were against it,
right,
because
right.
It was a non-union place. And there were about maybe 15 of us from the sheriff's office, maybe 5 or 10 from Smyrna, I can't remember. And then Governor Alexander came in with a group of troopers. And so they started it. Huh?
Yeah, they weren't going to let him do that. I mean, they weren't going to let him break ground, were they?
No.
That's right.
So when they came in, it was really cold. I mean, it was bitter cold. And they had the ceremonies inside a tent. And so some of us moved inside the tent, and it was raucous in there, and it was loud. And the louder it got, you know, I watched Marvin Runyon, and he was so cool. And then when he stood up to say something, he held his hands up, and he says, "I want to thank everybody from Tennessee to giving this the people, the Japanese, this warm welcome today. And I want you to know that boo means welcome in Japanese." And then all of a sudden you could just, oh, yeah, they didn't know what to do. But it so, and then Jerry Benefield was part of your group.
Right.
And there was such a big difference between Jerry and Marvin Runyon, because
yeah.
Jerry is one of our Georgia boys,
right,
that came into the business. Mm-hmm. And but yet they were both great managers.
Of course, Marvin was the reason Jerry came here. Marvin brought him down,
mm-hmm,
and gave him a job here. And I think Jerry, because when I was at Marvin's funeral, and Jerry told that story about what Marvin had done to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. I'll tell you another thing about that I knew about Marvin had told about what happened at Nissan. And the very first year that we started our program, and we were out, it was when we were doing our Rutherford County session, and I had gotten, you remember Thomas Stegall?
Oh, yes.
Thomas had came out to the Geographic Center of Tennessee. He had donated the stones for that obelisk out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him to come out and give the history of the Geographic Center of Tennessee. With this, Marvin was in the group. Earl Swenson was one of our first class members, too, from Nashville. But anyway, so in the process, Thomas Stegall had come out to talk to him. But Whitney Stegall, who was also a cousin of Thomas's,
yes,
and cousin of Royce's too, Whitney
Rockville boys.
Right. Whitney came with Thomas, but Whitney stayed in the car. And so we were out around the obelisk, and Whitney didn't get out. He just drove out there with Thomas. And so Marvin called me up, and he said, "Is that Whitney Stegall sitting in that car?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Go get him out. I want to talk to him." He brought Whitney over to the group. Do you remember this, Jeff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He brought Whitney over to the group, and he said, "I want to thank him. He did me the biggest favor," because that what happened with the union went to court.
Mm-hmm.
And Whitney ruled.
Was the chancellor at that time.
Well, he was chancellor at that time, right.
Mm-hmm.
And he ruled in Nissan's favor. And Marvin never forgot it. He never forgot, something like that. And so he wanted to thank, he wanted to tell the group what a fine person Whitney was, Chancellor Stegall. So
yep,
that was
special.
He was.
Now, when you look for somebody now, I mean, if do you try to keep it where the businesses are, you don't have so many of one type of business, or so many doctors,
yep,
right, or lawyers, or how do you manage that? Because I know that you have to have had a lot of people that were interested, yeah, in going into leadership in Middle Tennessee.
It's our
committee, and you know the selection committee changes every year, and we always have, you know, someone from that class that's, mm-hmm, just completed it, and it's a mix of, mm-hmm, you know, older alumni and newer alumni, and they just have a charter to review the packets, and they're looking for anything that's going to set that one individual out. You know,
mm-hmm,
that they're going to look for, you know, their involvement in the community. What have they done in the past? Are there indicators of what they've accomplished before that indicates they're going to have the drive, you know, and the willingness to participate even after the program's over.
Now, that's belonging to all types of groups,
right,
or
right,
clubs,
right,
or things like that that are beneficial.
Right. You know, being a part of, you know, like Leadership Rutherford or the mm-hmm. local leadership mm-hmm. programs, well, that's an indicator that they're interested in participating. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it's not a prerequisite to be part of the local leadership program. But mm-hmm. you're looking for something that's unique and, you know, making a selection. We got such a high quality of applicants. You know, we want to accommodate all of them, but, you know, mm-hmm. we're kind of limited. You kind of have to keep it to somewhat of a small group because you're doing some venues. You're getting into some venues that are somewhat restrictive. You mm-hmm. couldn't carry a large group mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. So in order to keep the quality of the program up, you have to have somewhat of a small group, but you can't accommodate everybody. So you're looking for just unique things, what stands out amongst the bankers. You don't really divide them up and say, mm-hmm. here are the bankers, you know, here are the mayors and here are the judges, mm-hmm. or you kind of throw them all out there, but you are cognizant as you're building that first group or that first cut, mm-hmm. you are cognizant of a mix so that you don't have, if you have, you know, six bankers and you mm-hmm. really don't, you kind of, you're targeting three, mm-hmm. you want to look for what sets the ones apart. You know,
okay, we'll hit on that when we get back. We're going to have to take a quick break and we'll be right back with you.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips now, how about you? Readable, readable, readable.
Tom Brady will be delighted to see him there. Tom Brady is the one who rebuilt the mill and is now fully operational. They have breakfasts there on Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Nora's in there helping him, and whatever they fixed you is made right there at the mill. And it's an amazing place right on the river. Take about a 10-minute drive out John Bragg Highway, and just before you get out of Rutherford County, you'll see Cripple Creek on the right, turn left there on the old Woodbury Highway, about a 2-mile drive, go right over the river, turn left. And if the parking place is not full, now if it's full, you'll have to turn right. If you get a chance, go out there anyway, because you'll never regret it.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Emissions testing, brakes, check engine lights.
Todd's Complete Auto Care.
Oil changing, tune-ups, transmission.
Todd's Complete Auto Care.
Everything in between.
Todd's Complete Auto Care.
We're on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
Todd's Complete Auto Care.
Come see me.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
It's Monday and time for Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank. Please give the gift of life today. Give blood at the Red Cross. There's a community blood drive there from 10 this morning until 6 this evening. Now remember, the Red Cross has a new location, 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce building. That's the new Red Cross home. The blood drive going on until 6 tonight. And from 6 to 8:30 tonight, auditions for the production of Dracula at the Murfreesboro Center for the Arts, 110 West College, 6 to 8:30 this evening. At 7 o'clock tonight, the survivors of suicide. This is a support group for those who have lost loved ones to suicide. And it's over at the Central Christian Church, 404 East Main Street. Again, that's tonight at 7 at Central Christian Church. Now, tomorrow morning, bright and early, it's the Farmer's Market. 6 to 11 in the morning at 315 John Rice Boulevard. That's over at the Lane Agri Park. Don't miss it. 6 to 11 in the morning. At 7 o'clock tomorrow night at the Mount Zion Primitive Baptist Church, they're holding an Hour of Power event with Elder Brandon Mason. 7 o'clock tomorrow night at the Mount Zion Primitive Baptist Church. And on hot days, be sure to check with your senior citizen loved ones or anyone who's alone and ill. Fans and air conditioners definitely save lives. If you need one, call Dwight Ogleton at the Cool Aid Program, 818-2459. To make a donation to the Cool Aid Ministry, take your check by First Bank on Memorial. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather-eye. Occasional sunshine this afternoon with showers and storms. High in the mid-90s. Heat index value as high as 101. Tonight, cloudy with more showers and storms. Low near 74. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 93.
Did you realize we have 10 items at the Maple Street Grill for lunch under $6.99 and include your iced tea and coffee? This is Mike. Join Debbie and I for lunch. 10 items at the Maple Street Grill for lunch under $6.99 and include your iced tea and coffee. Maple Street Grill, 109 North Maple Street in the historic downtown Murfreesboro area.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And if you're looking for a new car or a used car, I can tell you where to go. Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shevville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that you can have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. And how would you like to have oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge for your new or pre-owned vehicle? Well, now you can, but only at Stan McNabb, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, and Tullahoma, and Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg. You heard right, no more oil changes to pay for, no more tires to buy. And you can't find a deal like that anywhere. And Jeff, we were talking about the trying to get a variety of businesses and government people in your leadership, Middle Tennessee. Have you ever had problems with anybody who wanted to come in and maybe at that time, maybe the timing was not right or whatever?
Well, I mean, we've had many occasions where you had, you just didn't have enough room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you maybe reached your goal of a certain segment, you know, and you really just couldn't take them that year. And mm-hmm. we always try to encourage them to reapply for the next year because mm-hmm. you want to include them. But, yeah, there are many occasions to where and, you know, sometimes you have, a lot of people that are new to the community. They've been leaders maybe mm-hmm. somewhere else. And you really are looking forward to them participating in the program because they're going to bring some new insights of some challenges they've faced wherever they've lived before. But maybe they're just, you know, so new to the community, you think that they'll be better suited to wait a year, you know, and get mm-hmm. familiar with the challenges we're facing. And then they can have a better perspective and have a lot more to offer. You know, the next year.
One thing we do encourage is I'll get a lot of inquiries from people that they're looking at the Leadership Middle Tennessee program to help them in their business or mm-hmm. help them go somewhere. Right. We're looking for leaders that are already proven leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, we want people that are already in the mix, they're already doing something in their community. And a lot of times when I get calls or inquiries from people like that, I will encourage them to go through the local leadership program first, and like mm-hmm. Jeff said, learn more about our community mm-hmm. before they embark on trying to go through Leadership Middle Tennessee, because we want people that already have a good idea of what's going on in the community and ways that, like, the ways that Rutherford County can benefit from Dixon County or from Davidson County or from mm-hmm. one of our other 10 counties. And I would like to embark on a little bit telling about the counties we cover mm-hmm. and how our programs run. So sometimes people will think they want to apply for our program, mm-hmm. and it, like Jeff said earlier, it's a time commitment because mm-hmm. our program starts in September. We run heavy until May, and each month it's a day and a half commitment a month. So we start our program at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon and finish that that session on at 4:30 on Thursday afternoon.
It's
an overnighter. So,
yeah.
Well, for some people taking off from their businesses, mm-hmm. they're basically taking off 2 days a month. Mm-hmm. So we want them to know that. We want them to know it's a commitment, and we expect them to be a part of the program. If they can't commit to that time, then, you know, we need to look at someone else. So we start in September with an orientation, and then mm-hmm. we have 10 sessions throughout the year, and we go to each of our counties. Each county, we spend that much time in each county, so mm-hmm. the group gets to learn all about that county, their weaknesses, some of their challenges, some of their good points, you know, what they excel at, and people will go back to these counties. They mm-hmm. they don't realize that we have 10 such interesting counties in Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could vacation in Middle Tennessee and never run out of something to do. I mean, because we do have a lot to offer in Middle Tennessee. But also, we want to know how these counties can work together, you know, how everybody's going to benefit.
Now, when it comes time for graduation, do each member of the class, do they have to write some type of brief or recap what they've learned or some of the information that they're going to be able to utilize? Or what kind of networking do you do with all of the classroom activity?
Our agenda, like I said, starts on Wednesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Each month, in addition to going to each of our 10 counties, mm-hmm. we get into a specific issue mm-hmm. that's pertinent to our whole Middle Tennessee region. Mm-hmm. Like our first session will actually be in Rutherford County, September 21st and 22nd, and our issue for that month is health care and quality of life issues. And Rutherford County is a good county for mm-hmm. that, because we've got a lot of quality of life things here in Rutherford County that mm-hmm. other counties are seeing and can benefit from, like our Christy Houston Foundation, our Discovery Center,
The Greenway development, and you know how that was achieved, and the continued development of the Greenway.
That would be hard for other counties to be able to do.
But we've sort of settled now. The last couple of years, rather than rotating our topics around a lot, mm-hmm. we found which topics fit a particular county especially well. Mm-hmm. But when we go to that county, we don't just get speakers from that county. Mm-hmm. We want people to come in from the other counties. We have people from the state. We have I have people come from UT. I have you've probably heard of Lee Martin, who he and his brother Paul gave money to the university for the Honors College. Mm-hmm. Lee drives all the way from Knoxville to Dixon every year on his own time, on money, to present to this class mm-hmm. because he thinks it's that much that's important, and he does terrific presentation. But let's see, where was I going with this, Jeff?
Yeah, well, just the mix, you know, the county gets an opportunity, and we divide the curriculum up. So if they're in a particular county, mm-hmm. we focus about 60% of the time on that topic, the mm-hmm. topic of the month, whether it be mm-hmm. healthcare, transportation, whatever, that's not unique to that county. Mm-hmm. And then the other 40%, we let the county kind of show, you know, their, you know, the things that they've got going on, you know, the things that they've developed. And
now, who would do that? Would that be the government leaders, leadership Rutherford, or
we go after everybody.
Okay.
I mean, we leave no stone unturned. We've got, and now we're at a point after 12 years, we're getting ready to start our 12th class. Mm-hmm. I get people calling me wanting to present to the group. Mm-hmm. And so we have a wealth of good speakers now, and of course, when we're in Nashville, we have an audience with the governor. We have specific things, and we get our meals sponsored. So we mm-hmm. have a lot of people. We're going to be eating at the hospital here, mm-hmm. thanks to Gordon Ferguson. And but we get our speakers from all different places. Mm-hmm. But we really want to show what can be done in our region, you know, and it helps other counties. Say, you know, one of our counties, Robertson County, mm-hmm. was the only one of our 10 counties that did not have an institute of higher education. They didn't have a community college.
Never thought of that.
And so mm-hmm. they had an extremely low college degree rate.
Hmm.
I mean, they only had like 14% mm-hmm. of their adult citizens in Robertson mm-hmm. County had college degrees. Well, they didn't have any place to go. They didn't have a branch of APSU or any of them there. So after several years of leadership in Middle Tennessee, they could see that they needed this, that after traveling to other counties and seeing what other counties had, they really needed something where they could promote higher education in their county. Mm-hmm. And thanks to a group of our Leadership Middle Tennessee graduates, they actually put an ad in the paper to help promote it, mm-hmm. because they had people that were against it because mm-hmm. it was going to involve a 2% tax increase, property tax increase. But it passed. So now mm-hmm. Somebody donated the land, and they are actually building a facility. They're going to have branches of Austin Peay and Volunteer State, where people can get most of their college degree mm-hmm. in Robertson County.
I bet so, poor Kate turned over in her little cave over there, the Bell Witch.
Right, right. We actually have a lady going through the program this year that's an expert on the Bell Witch. She's from
Have you ever
Adams,
read
Tennessee.
The book?
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, we've had
there's just a lot of unique. You know, talking about Robertson County, you get to go to, you get to see things that you would not normally see. And a classic example, many of us have been in a tobacco barn mm-hmm. in some cases, yeah. but most of us have not. And so
plenty of it there.
You go to a tobacco barn, depending mm-hmm. on the time of year, and you're sitting there and you're having a little venue in the tobacco barn, and you got all the bales and stuff like that. And it's just a behind-the-scenes experience.
Did you go to the one over in Sumner County where it's one of the only two companies left that do the twist?
Right. Right.
Did you go to
yeah.
that one? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was not really pleasant, but it was something everybody needed to see. And
yeah. Well, you'd never get the chance. If you weren't in a program like this, you would never get the unless you knew somebody personally.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, it's like the walking horse industry, yeah. the equine industry, yeah. you know, Middle Tennessee mm-hmm. State University and their horse science program, mm-hmm. you know, world class. Mm-hmm. No one, unless you're involved with that somehow, you'd never know it was here. Yeah.
Well, thanks to Jeff, starting with our very first class, Jeff made arrangements for us to take the class in two Black Hawk helicopters. And so we
did. You get the hour orientation before you got
in?
Oh,
yeah, and it makes you a little weak. It makes you a little weak. But
yeah, that's what I was saying. This plane's so safe. Why am I telling me all this?
I'm about to embark on my 10th helicopter flight. And only 2 years that the helicopters mm-hmm. were over in Iraq that we couldn't fly. And Jeff's made arrangements for the class to fly. And that's a big thing is... Mm-hmm. We get them started off the very first this
yeah,
Black Hawk helicopter.
I remember
flight.
The one of the first sessions, the 840 loop was you know mm-hmm. was just being constructed, you know, and there huge controversy over the 840 loop.
Oh yes.
And so we'll target specific areas to go mm-hmm. see it, you know, in the flight. Mm-hmm. And so in that case we went through the path of where, you know, the 840 was going to tie in, and you could see kind of the places that it would affect, very rural areas, mm-hmm. and you kind of just and then you could relate it to the debate that you were hearing mm-hmm. on a daily basis in the newspaper and the news. Then you could really see and you could understand what context this big interstate was being put in. So it let them. They were more informed.
You know, when you're talking about things like that, I think that it would be a good idea to have some of the homeowners, the farmers, you know, that are disrupted with that. Because I can remember, and Susan does, remember when the Hord family had so much problem with it, just ripped right through their farm. Had been in their family for years and years and years. Of course, it still is for the most part, except it's just been disrupted.
Right.
Well, we'll have
T-Dot.
Yeah, T-Dot. And mm-hmm. the commissioner will come talk in many cases, and we'll talk about transportation, mm-hmm. you know, mass transit, you know, the thing that we are so far behind in this region, which is very expensive, you know. And so it's a good discussion, and it's not that, you know, the people that are coming to talk aren't necessarily lecturing. It's a give and take, and that's because the class is small. Mm-hmm. You can do that in a forum where you can have open dialogue.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how some of these officials will sit down and talk with this class and tell them things, you know, mm-hmm. share things with them. It's really good.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back with you.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Hello, this is Freedom Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We value your time. At First National Bank of Murfreesboro, we keep our lobby open a little bit longer each day. We open our lobby at 8 a.m. and we close at 4:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and we close at 6 p.m. on Friday. Come by today and see why there's a difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
And today, especially at Kirk & Birch, is our award-winning smoked wings. This is Tom. Come over and get you some. They're just 40 cents each. That's Kirk & Birch, 517 Cason Lane, just down from the theater. Or call in your order at 893-FOOD.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now, back to Truman Jones.
Welcome back with us. We've just got a few minutes, but we've got so much to talk about. Susan, I know there's a lot of people out there right now that are probably interested in enrolling in leadership in Middle Tennessee. What is the process, and what will they be looking at?
You can go to our website, which is www.leadmt.org, and you get information. You can get a brochure off of that that you can fill out, an application form, or you can contact me at MTSU, and my email address is just taylor@mtsu.edu, and we can send you information. We usually, in January, we will send out application forms to people that have requested them, and then the application deadline is the last Friday in May, and then from that point on, that's when selections are made by the first week in July, so that the program starts up in September.
One thing I was going to ask you, I forgot. How active is your alumni association, and how much do you depend on them?
They're about to run me to death. They're active. We have 12 classes. This is be our 12th class, and some of our groups get together periodically, like quarterly, for dinner and stuff, and so they stay connected. But then we also have two major alumni events each year, one in the fall. That'll be September 15th, and then we're looking at partnering with a group up at UT, from UT, on a sustainability summit in February or March. So we usually have a summit in the one in the fall and one in the spring. We found out we could summit too much, so we cut back a little bit. We have a very active alumni group, and they help each other out, but mainly we do try to target, go back and revisit two of our issues on a major scale, and we'll bring in some outsiders, and we'll invite the other leadership groups to come to that too.
You said earlier that you don't get involved in anything political, but when you're dealing with government, I guess in some ways you can do it in a non-political way, because a lot of times there's information out there that each community leader would like to have, and I'm sure that they can network with you with some information that's needed.
A lot of times people will call us to get, have someone come speak to them about some of the programs we have with Leadership Middle Tennessee, or ways that information we have that will help out. But we just try to stay away from, taking a stand on anything. That's our mission is, as Marvin would say, and I, occasionally when we do evaluations of each of our sessions by our class members, and occasionally people will say, well, we need to talk to somebody longer. We need to hear them speak longer. Well, Marvin's philosophy was, we want to feed them as much as we can give them in a day and a half, and give them things they can go back to for information. We don't want to give them all the answers. We want to give them the pros and the cons, and ways that, and resources mainly. And so we're a big resource group. We've got a lot of ways to contact people.
Yeah, just email, the 300 plus alumni, and these alumni are going out into their communities, and they're continuing to be involved, and they'll have an issue that needs to be addressed that they're passionate about, and they'll use the alumni group as a forum to push that information out. And then they can get responses back, and You know, so we look to just really encourage critical thinking on issues, and not, and because you know you can't really take a side. You just want your leaders to be informed so that they can make the right decision based on their unique circumstance. But it's a really strong group, and you know, here's an example. You know, our alumni summits. You know, it's important to have cross communication between classes, because mm-hmm. there's not a whole lot of opportunity for them to experience last year's class or the year after. So that's the alumni summit is where they can interact. And you know, after the floods, we had one of our summits was focused on the river and the Corps mm-hmm. of Engineers, water quality, and they came and spoke about the flood specific items mm-hmm. and you know how that all developed and things that are put in place, their challenges in dealing with that kind of effect of you know a situation like that. So it's very informative, and we'll tackle whatever's of interest to the region. You know, that's what we put on the agenda.
One quick thing, just I know Jeff talking about some mm-hmm. of the things that the privileges this group, these classes have that other people aren't allowed to do. We have been able to take our group the last 3 years to the bottom of Cheatham Dam up in Cheatham County mm-hmm. and see the workings and everything. And now oh, wow. it's such a secure area mm-hmm. that they don't let many people in there, but they will let our group in. And so we feel we've got a lot of things like that, that we feel like because of who the group is and what we work with and the leaders, we're allowed a lot of opportunities that we wouldn't have otherwise.
You know, I'm a little aggravated with you, Susan.
Why?
You didn't tell me that General Holmes is going to be on today. I didn't even shave. I wore my shorts today, and I'm kind of intimidated because you've never had to stand inspections like I used to have. Of course, been in an airborne unit, Evan.
Yeah,
it was.
He's another whole program. You need to bring him back get Jack Turner in here talking about all. Jack's the civilian representative for Fort Campbell for the northern Tennessee area. So Jack and Jeff could really give you a good program.
Yeah, Jack's energetic, you know, and we didn't talk a lot about Jack Turner mm-hmm. taking over after Marvin, you know, passed. Yeah. But mm-hmm. you know, I've never seen somebody with the energy that Jack and the passion that he has for this program. He's everywhere and he's promoting it, and you know, he's definitely carrying Marvin's legacy. He's definitely passionate, and his experience, special experience with the military, being mm-hmm. civilian assistant to the Secretary of Army, you know, he's very in tune with the military and mm-hmm. the special needs, and of course with our National Guard and Air National Guard in these communities, you know, and we've got the session, this mm-hmm. session coming up, we're going to talk specifically because the community's been impacted for 10 years, mm-hmm. and so we're going to go kind of on the inside and talk about these soldiers and airmen that are serving mm-hmm. that are our neighbors, and then some of the benefits and these readiness centers that are sitting there in the community, people may not have any interaction with, but will better inform them about how they can help or just be cognizant of what's going on in their communities.
Well, I'm going to have you guys back on. I mean, the hour is gone. We've overshot our time, and we still haven't gotten to all the things that I wanted to talk about. But I do want to thank you for your service to the country. We're very proud of you. We're proud of having one of our own as general here over the National Guard. And I think you're probably the second general from Rutherford County that I can remember.
General Hargett was, you know, the previous adjutant general. He lived here.
Oh, that's right. He did live here.
Yeah, and then there's a number. General Osborne lives here, and they seem to migrate. You know, a lot of times the adjutant general is not from this area, but when they have to move here, they pick Rutherford County to live. There's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah, and a lot of it is because of your group and all the other interested people, the people that are actually wanting to make their community better, and I think that's great. And unfortunately, we've run out of time. I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock tomorrow, and Mr. Greg Tucker will be on. We'll be talking about a lot of things that have gone on in our past. See you tomorrow.